You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Welcome to On The Money for this Tuesday, the 1st of September 2020 from the SBS Newsroom. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance wrap. Let's start with the share market. The S&P ASX 200 down today by 1.77% at 5,953. That is the biggest one-day fall in about a month. Of the majors, the banks were down across the board. NAB the worst, down by 3%. BHP also lost ground, off by about 1%. Afterpay tumbled 8% after PayPal said it would enter the US buy now, pay later space. And insurer QBE declined more than 6% after the shock resignation of its CEO. For more on the day's moves, I spoke earlier with the head of investment strategy at Perpetual, Matt Sherwood. Matt, the market's on track for its worst day in about 4 weeks. Why?
Yeah, a lot of selling pressure on the Australian market today. We had a bit of a negative lead from Wall Street, but I think the selling pressure today in Australia reflects three key factors. First of all, the Australian dollar continues to rally, so it's up to a two-year high of 74 US cents. At the same time, we have these continuing trade tensions with our largest trading partner in the form of China. And the third factor is just generally the uncertainty and the weakness within the Australian economy. So tomorrow we're going to get an historically weak number from the June quarter national accounts of around -6 to 7% for the quarter, which is the largest in the history of the national accounts, which goes back 61 years. Unlike other countries like Europe and the US, Australia's rebound in the September quarter is probably not going to be particularly robust because we have the uncertainty around the Victorian lockdowns, you know, elevated unemployment and so on. And so the outlook for the Australian economy is certainly not as strong as it was, for example, a year ago, because three big booms have now ended for the country. First of all, there's the leverage boom, then the mining boom, and of course the population boom. And as a result, the Australian economy looks fairly weak at the moment, despite the actions of the Morrison government and the Reserve Bank.
Matt, reporting season has pretty much come to an end. What's your key takeaway from the period?
Well, I think the key takeaway from the reporting season is that revenue has come in better than expected, which is really good. But there has been significant rises in costs. I'd say it's centered around COVID and the adjustment to that. You know, probably the other underlying message is the general lack of guidance we've been able to get from companies. And this just reflects the complete uncertainty around the environment. COVID's something new. It's not something which doesn't have an historic precedent of any note. And as such, you know, corporate Australia is still pretty uncertain about the outlook. And what that means, of course, is they may be a little bit hesitant to be undertaking investment in both capital and labour. So, you know, again, that really puts a bit of a handbrake on the recovery. And I think that's one of the underlying messages out of the season.
And you mentioned earlier that strength in the Australian dollar. What do you make of it? And given I've noticed some upgrades to the currency from some economists anyway, does that change your view of the broader market?
Yeah, the Australian dollar's had quite a bit of upward pressure for an extended period of time. So it's up to a two-year high of 74 US cents. Today we had a record current account surplus. So you only have to go back, 5 years that Australia used to be running a very large current account deficit, but it's the largest surplus ever. And of course, you know, the uptrend in the currency doesn't really reflect Australian dollar strength. I think it more reflects US dollar weakness. So the US Fed is undertaking very large asset purchase programs. One of the result of that, of course, is to decrease the value of the US dollar. That helps them on the trade front, you know, but of course, other countries like Australia kind of cop that in the neck a little bit. So, you know, and of course, the higher dollar does weigh on economic growth and the recovery, and it does also negatively impact the corporate earnings outlook for our foreign earners, you know, such as the miners, you know, and other companies we have, for example, which operate within the United States. So, you know, I think the Reserve Bank wouldn't want it to go any higher. And if need, you know, they could come in and, you know, start, you know, some transactions which at least reduce the upside risk to it. But to be honest, the Fed's got a bigger balance sheet than the RBA, so there's probably not a lot we can do about it. So this is just one more thing that the economy and the corporate landscape is having to adjust to.
Matt Sherwood there from Perpetual. He's the head of investment strategy. Let's now talk about house prices. We had some statistics out by the guys at CoreLogic. And nationally, the house prices down 0.4% in August. That's the fourth month of declines. But there is a difference depending on which side of the country you're on. Cities on the East Coast, for example, fell as opposed to other parts of the country. So for the month, we saw prices in Darwin rise 1%, in Canberra up 0.5%, and Hobart up 0.1%. Perth and Adelaide stayed steady, but there were declines in Brisbane, down by 0.1%, Sydney fell by 0.5%, and Melbourne down by 1.2%. Still, remember that nationally, values are down 1.7% for the quarter. So that's the bulk of COVID-19. So I guess that isn't too bad. Tim Lawless, the head of research at CoreLogic, says there are a number of reasons why national prices haven't fallen harder as a result of COVID-19.
Of course, we have really obvious factors like very low interest rates, a lot of fiscal support and stimulus across the economy. But a little bit less obvious would be factors like we haven't seen very many listings coming on the market. It looks like vendors at the moment simply aren't willing to test the market. So listing numbers have remained very low, which is helping to insulate housing values. And this is one of the reasons why we think the housing market might be a little bit more exposed later this year or coming into early next year, is we will see fiscal support policies starting to taper from the end of this month. And we'll also, that'll coincide with the time when lenders are having their six-month check-ins with distressed borrowers. So I think it's reasonable to assume that we might start to see a lift in either distressed or urgent listings coming on the market, which could place some additional downwards pressure on housing values.
CoreLogic's Tim Lawless there. Now, Tim did mention listings, and we had some data from SQM Research that backs that up. It says there were 293,000 homes listed for sale in August, and that is down 6.3% from July and still down 10% on the same time last year. The other thing Tim mentioned was that low interest rates are also helping to minimise the fall in house values, and today we heard from the Reserve Bank, which kept official interest rates on hold at 0.25%. The RBA reiterated that it won't lift interest rates until there is progress toward full employment. Full employment is probably around about 5% now, and there will be some years away until we reach that because the unemployment rate is still expected to climb quite dramatically over the next few months. And the RBA says also that rates won't rise until there is progress with inflation in between its 2 to 3% target band. The RBA also updated its assessment on the economy. And for more on that, I spoke earlier with Sarah Hunter from Oxford Economics. Sarah, the RBA left official interest rates on hold as expected. What were the key points in its accompanying statement?
Yeah, no surprise in the cash rate not moving. Obviously, conditions still very challenging. And really, with respect to the cash rate, they were just reiterating that it's going to be on hold for quite some time. So until the economy is moving well towards full employment. And I think the key thing when they are confident that inflation is sustainably in the 2 to 3% target band that they have. So that means they want inflation to be not just squeaking at 2%, but actually well entrenched in that band. And so for me, for us here at BIS Oxford Economics, we think that this means the cash rate's on hold until mid-2024, which is quite some way away from where we are now.
The expansion of its term funding facility means banks, I guess, will have further access to cheap money to lend to borrowers for longer. But is there demand out there for it?
Well, I think that's the thing. At the moment, the challenge, of course, is really very weak demand in the economy. And we know that from, we're starting to get an idea of that from the data that's coming out now. So we had capital expenditure data last week. So this is business investment fell quite sharply, particularly in the non-mining sector, which is most concerning because that's the majority of the economy. And that's likely to continue. We've still got very uncertain environment. Obviously, conditions in Victoria, they are improving, which is great, but still very challenging. It's not clear what the path out from lockdown is. It's not clear what's happening in terms of migration and the border, the relaxation of restrictions elsewhere across the country. A lot of uncertainty, and for business, this is really difficult. But you know, no one wants to invest in an environment where you're not sure what demand is going to look like. And if you're not sure what demand's going to look like, then you limit your spending, and so demand is weak. And I think the RBA made that point as well, and Governor Lowe, when he was in front of the Treasury committee, fiscal policy is so important right now. It's a driver of demand. It can very tangibly have a very big impact. Monetary policy really just sort of lays the bedrock for the recovery by making credit cheap, but he can't force people to borrow money if they don't want to.
That is on the money for this Tuesday, the 1st of September 2020, first day of spring. Tomorrow, it will all be about the GDP numbers. Expect to hear the word recession a lot tomorrow. I've seen numbers anywhere between a contraction of 5 to 7% for the second quarter. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Business Ricardo. I'll see you next time.